They can be a great people color if they wish to be. They only lack the light to show the way. For this reason, above all, their capacity for good. I have sent them you. My only son.
My spider senses are starting to tingle.
Just hang on to your lariat.
Wonder what kind of a scene I'm getting into.
And welcome to issue 56 of Behind the Panels, the comic book podcast that is the lore. I'm Richard Gray.
I'm David McVeigh.
And we're joined for the first time in the studio by science fiction fantasy author, comic book writer slash artist, DJ and basketball enthusiast, Nima Afshar. Welcome to the show, Nima.
Hello, Internet. Thanks for having me.
Wow, enthusiastic. Let's try it again. Hello, Nima.
Hey, guys.
Hey, there we go.
And the Internet rejoices. In this issue, Marvel surges ahead of DC in sales. Iron Man 3 makes some money and all the latest headlines. Plus, our kick-ass pick of the week, Judge Dredd, the Cursed Earth Saga. This is Behind the Panels. That was, of course, Anthrax.
As we play, just getting my head bash on there. Come on.
As we play every episode a bit of Anthrax. Anthrax, I Am the Law. And as you probably, if you're listening to the lyrics and not just headbanging, that was about Judge Dredd.
Really?
Which is appropriate because we're doing Judge Dredd this week.
Oh, shit. I read the wrong book. No, I didn't. I really, I'm just joking.
I read Sam and Max on the Road again.
I would like to point out that, I would like to point out that we did an interview. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But she actually, at one point, says, I hope this is an all ages podcast, which was fabulous.
Well, on that thing, we did do an interview with Kelly Sue DeConnick this morning, author of Captain Marvel, Avengers Assemble, and the forthcoming Image comic, Pretty Deadly.
And she was awesome.
She was very awesome, and she sounded a little awesome like this.
And then I get a little intimidated in writing Hawkeye because my husband does his solo book, and so it just feels like... he does that so well, you know, like it's so very much his book that it always feels weird when I'm writing Hawkeye.
Do you, I was just thinking, I don't want to move into that area at all, but I'm just wondering, do you actually ever go to him for inspiration for the Hawkeye character for the book?
You know, I've had him, there was issue, let's see, what issue was that? I think it was issue 13 of Avengers Assemble. Yeah, I totally cheated. I didn't feel like my dialogue for Hawkeye was quite right, and I had Matt read it. And he gave me a couple tweaks. The thing that he gave me that kind of made it click for me, and then I was able to get the rest of it, was he suggested that that Clint would call Natasha Tosh. Mm. And there was something about that I was able to hear his voice then, and then I got it.
It's those little tiny things that make it work, isn't it?
It's a really good interview. That'll be out. If you're downloading this podcast on the day it's released, this will be out in a couple of days. Really, really great interview. Really generous. Really, really interesting. She talks about everything from her latest crossover, Enemy Within, through to her forthcoming book, Pretty Deadly, which sounds amazing. When she started describing it, it was like it's narrated by a butterfly and a dead rabbit.
And I think we may have actually got a bit of an exclusive on that because she started going into quite a lot of detail.
She spoke for about 2 minutes on the description. She said, and that's just issue one.
That's the introduction to issue one.
Now, how long did she go for?
It's about an hour, which is over an hour, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, and so. She was really giving, and she's got, she covered everything from comics all the way through to feminism, and it was fantastic.
Great, so we look forward to sharing that with you. But of course, the other thing we look forward to sharing with you every week, without fail, is our vintage clip of the week. So here's this one.
This is Angry Bob, the man with the industrial dick, coming at you loud and clear on WAR Radio. Rise and shine, folks. It's a beautiful day. Just look at that sky. It's a work of art. Ha! Nature never knew colors like that. And a friendly reminder, when you look at it, be sure to wear your shades. The radiation count's way up and the heat wave ain't expected to let up either. Weather control tell us it'll probably hit 110 downtown before nightfall. As for the good news, there is no f***ing good news. So let's rock with one of our golden oldies.
Now, David, you'll know, and Neem, you'll probably know this as well. That was Hardware.
I saw that at the movies when it came out.
Yeah, so did I.
I've not seen it until recently. I was only looking up what movies have been based on 2000 AD comics, and that was apparently the first one.
Inspired, ripped off.
It was the basis of a lawsuit, wasn't it?
I can't remember if
something like that. Yeah,
wouldn't surprise me.
I think it was so close. Was it Shock 13 or something, or was it something like along those lines? I can't remember. It was one of the comics that was in 2000 AD, and it was very closely inspired, shall we say?
It's not a great film, but I remember at the time actually quite enjoying it. It doesn't hold up to rewatches very well, but at the time I thought, oh, this is actually pretty good, and none of my friends liked it.
Let's just say post-apocalyptic sex and a voyeuristic neighbor.
Yeah, and a hot redhead.
And some good special effects for the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a character played by the guy who played Porkins in Star Wars.
And we should say, speaking of people who played things, that voice was Iggy Pop.
Iggy Pop.
The almighty Iggy Pop. Mm. So, a little bit different for our vintage clip of the week this week.
But it's all post-apocalyptic today.
It is. we are riding across this cursed earth. But first of all, it's time, before we head into the cursed earth. Is it the cursed earth or the cursed earth?
I just say cursed earth.
I've always said cursed as well, but we were having this discussion because if you've seen the old Sylvester Stallone film...
Yeah.
They refer to it as Cursed Earth all the way through. Well, Max von Sydow does anyway. Or Sydow. How do you say his name?
It sounds a bit more Shakespearean.
It's pronounced Max.
It does sound Irish. The Cursed Earth, yes. And they had to do anything to give that film class. Ooh, I didn't go there.
Well, before we ride into that wasteland, let's have a look at something we've been reading more recently.
Well, looks like we got ourselves a reader. Read between the lines, bitch.
Nima, you and I lined up on Saturday morning because it was Free Comic Book Day.
May the fourth be with you.
Yeah, we did. I picked up the 2000 AD, well, surprise, surprise, the comic they were giving away. It wasn't great. Last year's 2000 AD issue was much stronger, but I didn't mind the Walking Dead backstory, and it was the only place you could get those Walking Dead stories.
Yeah, I haven't checked out that Walking Dead one yet. I picked up we both got, because when you went to King's Comics here in Sydney, you got the Infinity Marvel one, and you got the DC one as well. DC was a bit of a reprint extravaganza, but it gave you a little bit of a preview with the Snyder Superman Unchained.
You mean DC wasn't doing really stellar work? That's so unusual. I'm sorry, you call me bitter.
David, you take that... Oh, no, actually, yeah. they're doing it... Well, we'll talk about their sales figures in a minute. the Infinity story's really good. It's probably the Thanos story I wanted out of Thanos Rising.
Right.
You know, it is quite a good... It is building up to the
Apparently, movie. I have a copy of this coming to me. Right. I should get it tomorrow, I hope. I couldn't make it to Free Comic Book Day because I was working, but... there is apparently a copy coming for me, and you did get me a copy of Superman Last Son of Krypton. So I did get a couple things out of Free Comic Book.
I should say, check out Comixology, because a bunch of certainly the Dark Horse and the Dynamite, and I think a few other of the Free Comic Book Days are up there for free now.
They also put up on Comixology, they put a whole bunch of issue ones out of various comics
for
free or really cheap as well, just in honor of it. So
a lot of good stuff out there. I think the thing for me that was really cool was, apart from seeing all the fans and stuff dressed up and people just enjoying it, we got to speak to a few artists and things as well to see what people are doing locally. Mm. And that was kind of good. There's another shop. Yeah, yeah, another shop here in Kinokuniya. Another shop here in Sydney called Kinokuniya. And that was... who are the guys we spoke to? That was... there was a guy named Lee Rosello, I think his name was.
Yes.
And there's another guy, I think... I want to say his name was David Holgate. Something along that line.
That doesn't sound right. No.
That doesn't sound right. I'll look that up. I want to say his name is David Holgate, but
I'm glad you're here, Nima, to keep him honest.
I'll do my best.
Anyway, this guy...
he was an incredible artist.
Yeah. He wrote a book called Anzac Tale, and it's basically a retelling of Gallipoli with... with kangaroos and koalas. It's basically animals replacing humans. Mm. And I really like it because it's kind of got that like sort of same sensibility that Mouse had, I guess, in some ways, but it's aimed specifically at children, helping them understand.
Right.
But the art was amazing.
Yeah, like, very much like Black Sad, a European comic that Dark Horse has been printing, and it's been getting rave reviews.
Oh, I haven't read that.
It's a noir thriller with animals. It's...
I'll have to look at this.
It's people are really being into it.
Sort of like he's like a panther detective sort of thing, or black cat detective.
That's right, yeah.
So he looks like a bit like a panther, but he's a cat. very much like that. He writes up this guy whose name I will come to me any minute when I actually look it up on this interweb thing. Right,
cheat.
His name is actually Greg Holfield. So wasn't even remotely.
Greg, no offense to you, right? That he couldn't remember.
He's based in LA. No. He was a really cool guy because he did some great sketches inside the books for us, and. He writes with a children's author named Ruth Clark a lot, who's quite a famous children's author here in Australia. So check his stuff out. He has another series called Captain Congo, which is very cool because it's about a gorilla. And he said he likes drawing gorillas and penguins.
And penguins, yeah. I picked up his 4-issue series, In for the Krill, which is... and he did a penguin sketch for me. It's great. So, yeah.
Very, very, very cool. The other guy's name was Lee Rigosi, and he's written a lot of... self-published stuff, Pubs in the Inner West and the Time You're in Paris I picked up, and also Blood and Thunder Anthology number 2 is being launched in Sydney on the 23rd of May. If you're in Sydney, get along to Kinokuniya because it's going to be just a whole collection of different Australian artists and writers. And, you know, support the local. That's what we're all about.
Absolutely.
Only 300 copies are being printed too.
Yeah. So,
wow, there's going to be a collector's edition real fast.
So we'll be fighting our way to the front for that.
That's right.
Yeah. David, what have you been reading?
We've been doing a lot of reading because we had an interview coming up, of course. So I read a lot of Kelly Sue DeConnick stuff. One of the things I thought we would talk about very quickly is Ghost, because we actually didn't even talk about it in the interview, funnily enough.
We never really got
to it. This is a... Now, my understanding is this is a remake. Is that right? There was a previous Ghost.
There was an earlier Ghost, and that was by Dark Horse as well.
That's right. And so she's basically brought it back to life so forth. I actually found... I really like Kelly Sue DeConnick's writing. I think we talked about it on the show. I think some of the stuff she's doing in Avengers Assemble is fantastic, and Captain Marvel is stellar. I found Ghost a little bit hollow. And I know that sounds really weird because it's about a ghost.
David.
But I just found it felt... And I was talking to Richard... just before the show, and I was saying, if you want an equation for this, it is almost like if you watch a pilot to a TV show, it's not quite fleshed out yet. It doesn't quite have the substance of what's going to be in the TV show, and it has this promise of more, but we never actually get to it.
Yeah,
because it's only 4 issues, and it's gone before you get a chance to really get started. The other thing, I was catching up with some of the Marvel Now stuff, and the latest Iron Man, I don't quite know what's going on with Iron Man at the moment. He's now officially being called a Guardian of the Galaxy. He is in space, but it's feeling... it was a strong start to this run with him going to space, but I'm kind of feeling like it's a little bit not happening
at
the moment.
That's Kieran Gillen, I think, is writing that run at the moment. I'm not... I had a bit of trouble getting into that. Oh, I liked it at the start, and then I've sort of waved it off
it's
at myself.
Kind of the same thing, yeah. I think a lot of this Marvel Now, a lot of the hype that built up through the beginnings of Marvel Now, some of it isn't living up to that hype. We've talked about Age of Ultron has been very disappointing. We've talked about second issue of Guardians was a bit disappointing. Iron Man is kind of sagging a little bit. It's like we need a bit of an influx, and hopefully we're going to get this in the next couple of months. But... we need something. The only ones that have stayed solid are the ones that were pre-Marvel Now. Captain Marvel's still solid. Hawkeye's still solid.
Daredevil's
still solid.
Daredevil's great. Yeah,
Daredevil's fantastic. And these are all pre-Marvel Now resurrects. Even Red She-Hulk, which is quite strong, was from pre-Marvel Now.
Yeah.
So the ones that were launched as ones in Marvel now, I think are now starting to suffer a little bit. And this is the same problem that happened with New 52.
A lot of those did start out strong.
And launched strong. First issues were like, this is going to be really awesome. And then it kind of went nosediving down. I don't know. I've got a little bit more hope for Marvel now than I have for New 52.
Yeah.
Just purely because I like the characters
more. The creators
and I'm a Marvel boy. But, you know, it's like I'm a little sad at the moment. I want to see it live up to that hype.
The one thing I'll say about Ghost is that Phil Noto art on that is beautiful.
Oh, the art is gorgeous.
Yeah. One of the problems, I think, is that these writers are just under too much pressure. You know, writing 4 or 5 titles, you've got double shipping, so they're doing 18 issues a year sometimes.
Mm. Kelly still actually talks about that. She actually talks about the fact that she may need to ramp down because she doesn't write fast enough for 4 ongoing titles.
And a writer like Mark Millar, he never writes more than, let's say, 3 titles a month because he knows he cannot really handle more than that. As a result, I think maybe his hit rate's a bit higher. So it's, I don't know, it's an issue in the modern
industry. Because the industry is way more of an industry than it has been ever before. And it's all about, and again, Kelly Sue mentioned this, there's limited space on the shelves. Retailers have to, you know,
move stuff off.
There is a pressure for someone like, you know, to have Bendis' name on the cover, for someone like that to have 6 titles.
Well, what was she saying? She was saying you have to be a certain kind of writer. She said her husband, Matt Fraction, is one, and Hickman is another
Jonathan Hickman.
She'll say Jonathan Hickman will have 4 years mapped out.
Yeah.
And he's writing like a machine because he's got the map. She says other writers like herself, she says she can't think like that. Yeah. She only literally thinks a month ahead or 2 months ahead. You know?
And then we've seen people just burn out, like Geoff Johns, who's leaving Lantern after all these years because he's actually said, I can't give Justice League the attention I need.
And run the cinematic universe, which is basically what he's going on to as well. So, I think we're going to see some serious shifts in everything in the next couple of months. So.
I didn't think you were going to say serious shifts then.
Non-explicit tag.
Should we move swiftly along to some news then?
Why not?
What a scoop!
As of today, Wednesday, 8th of May, 2013, Iron Man 3 has taken over $711 million at the box office after 14 days internationally, including a $175 million opening weekend in the US. It is the second biggest opening ever after, you guessed it, The Avengers.
Zoe Saldana is now confirmed to play Gamora in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yay!
It will be done entirely with makeup, apparently.
Yay!
And not CG or performance capture.
Luke Evans has been cast as The Crow in the newest adaptation of James O'Barr's comics. He'll next be seen in Fast and Furious 6.
That's Luke Evans, not James O'Barr.
Yeah. Or The Crow.
Sony has commissioned Oren Uziel to pen Men in Black 4. Isn't that R.I.P.D.?
Yeah, I think so.
He'll also be writing a sequel to 21 Jump Street.
AOL, are they still a thing? AOL has announced that it will shut down Comics Alliance, a website that has long highlighted artists and given excellent opinion pieces. It will be very missed.
That's one of the worst bits of news.
I thought AOL
week.
Was gone, quite frankly. Anyway.
They're closing down a lot of things, including music divisions and stuff like that. It's a pretty bad set of affairs. But speaking of industry, as we were mentioning before, comic sales in April have come out. Marvel has just leapt ahead of DC, but it's Batman that's still ruling strong. But Image is probably the fastest growing group here. Now,
excuse me for 1 minute.
Yay!
Sorry.
Well, we've spoken about this quite a bit. Like, up until now, the market share has been pretty neck and neck. It's been about 33%, you know, about a third each.
Yeah.
This is the first month where Marvel has just leapt ahead, and they're 37.95%. of the retail market. So let's say 38% of the market share, DC at only 26%.
Well, and as I was saying, Marvel now is a strong launch.
And if you look at it comparatively, though, Image Comics have got 9% of that. Now, which is not huge compared to the other two.
But that's huge for an independent.
Oh, absolutely. It's massive, yeah.
Yeah. And even IDW is coming up at 7.5%, you know?
Well, IDW's got some great stuff at the moment. Mm. I mean, they've been a lot of tie-in stuff and a lot of licensed product, but their new Judge Dredd series is actually not too bad either. I mean, they're really kicking it at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not too hot on it. It's okay.
I don't mind it.
I think it'd be a great comic if I was like an early teen. I think I would love it.
If you put it this way, it's a great intro to Judge Dredd.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was good. I think it's more aimed at a younger reader, though. I don't know.
Oh, agreed. No, it's not as violent as well, so it has toned it down a little bit, yes.
And they've also got the Judge Dredd Year One books out at the moment.
Which I haven't read yet. So.
Which are okay, but again, I don't think they're doing enough to distinguish themselves from, you know, typical... I mean, even me coming in fairly
but they're
green.
But they're the ones who are handling Doctor Who, aren't they? The Diggle.
Yes.
The Diggle.
They've got a lot of licensed IDWs. They've just done the Star Trek Countdown to Darkness, all that kind of stuff as well.
And they do all the G.I. Joe stuff, the Danger Girl stuff. The
Transformers.
Yeah, Transformers. Yeah.
Turtles.
Turtles.
TMNT, yeah.
So no wonder they got close to 7% or 8% there at the market share.
Put it this way, they got good sex appeal covers.
Yeah,
these are covers where people go, oh, I know that product.
Well, why aren't Dynamite?
Well, Dynamite's got sex appeal in a whole different way. Those Vampirella covers are awesome.
But let's break down this top... let's go through all 300 comics. No, let's go... now, let's just have a look at some of these things. We were commenting on this before. When you look at the top 10... Batman number 19 was still the number one comic, and justifiably so.
And
it's a damn good comic.
Quite a big index. It's
very, very
it's
big,
a big
index.
Jump.
Now, Thanos Rising number one, which was a terrible book, was the second highest seller
last
month.
You want to kiss him.
Don't you? You want to kiss him? He's Thanos. He's purple. But one of the big surprises last month was Jupiter's Legacy, which was the Mark Millar and Frank Quitely
book.
Really good book. You know, beautiful art.
Wouldn't know. Haven't read it. Didn't come out digitally.
It didn't come out digitally because Mark Millar said, this is without digital. This book is the number three comic.
That's a good effort.
Yeah. So the reason Mark Millar does that, he doesn't believe in day and date digital. So it will come out digitally, just not, you know.
Mark Millar, catch up.
Yeah, pull your finger out, son. but it is a great book, but I read that it was over 150,000 on pre-orders. Mm. So, which is now, like, you know, an amazing, amazing effort. Age of Ultron actually had three books in the top 10.
4, 5, and 6, yeah.
You know, Image is also represented by Walking Dead, then Batman and Red Robin,
You skipped Justice League.
Oh, Justice League is now actually the number 5 book. So that's another DC one in there. And Guardians of the Galaxy rounds up the top 10. One of the things David and I were noticing before we looked at this is if you look at DC's top books, let's go through them in order. At number 1, Batman. At number 5, you've got Justice League, but then you got number 9, Batman and Red Robin. Then you've got Detective Comics. Apart from Green Lantern, you then have Batman Incorporated, Batman
Dark
the Dark Knight. So it's like without Batman, you know, I think they've got something like 12 Bat titles out at the moment. DC aren't really doing much of interest at all.
But as you pointed out, what does the DC stand for?
Detective Comics. So, you know, it's... look,
it's not District Columbia?
I've heard that could be an alternative interpretation, which could be the confusion. People can't find their way there because they think they have to live in Columbia. They have to start from issue 500. It's very confusing.
Yeah, look, it's kind of a sad state of affairs when, I mean, but let's face it, Marvel is dominating this chart. When you go down this chart, you've got your Age of Ultrons, you've got Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'd like to point out Guardians of the Galaxy is in the top 10. Mm-hmm. Yay, for a number 2 issue. Okay, it wasn't as good as the first issue, but still, let's keep Guardians up there because, you know, we got a movie coming out. Yeah. And I love Guardians. Come on, we gotta just keep Guardians alive.
And Saga number 12. It turns out all you need to do is put a gay blowjob in there to surge up 11.
There you go.
11
and
points.
Then, what does the MR stand for? Do we know?
Mature reader.
A mature reader. So we got 2 mature readers on there. 3
yeah.
mature.
We got 3
mature.
Jupiter's Legacy and Walking Dead were both mature readers in the top 10. So.
On Saga and then there's probably Sex is probably down there somewhere. Yeah.
I don't know if Sex has made it into the.
That would be sad.
I'd have to go through and have a look in there.
Doesn't matter. But, we'll worry about for a moment.
Yes, here we go. Sex number 2 was number 101.
Oh, and Morning Glories is 103. So well, there are a few mature readers in here. So
there you go. So, I mean, look, you know, I think that's really interesting, that just that massive shift in the last couple of months from Marvel to from DC to Marvel, because they were neck and neck for most of that.
Can you scroll up to the company list again for a minute for me?
Yeah, sure.
I want to see this list here. What does Eagle Comics produce? I don't think I've ever read an Eagle comic. Eagle Moss Publications.
Well, I don't know, but at a massive 0.94%.
They still made it on the list, though. I've heard of Valiant. I've heard of Boom Dynamite. These are all things I've heard of. Even Zenoscope. They produce all the softcore versions of Robin Hood and Wonderland and all sorts of stuff. But what is Eagle Moss? I've never heard of it. And have you noticed, where's Archie?
Oh.
Archie's always on this list.
Archie and Veronica.
You got turned to sound, dude.
What I meant to say was
Archie and Veronica Blush.
That's better. Archie Comics isn't there.
No, that's interesting, because they were in there for a while.
They were. They were up there when they were doing the whole gay marriage and everything.
Just got to watch out for those Eagle Moss boys.
Eagle Moss. I'm going to go and find some Eagle Moss comics just to see what it is.
Well, I think that's the news. For all the rest of the news, you can hit up behindthepanels.net and hit on the news button at the top of the page.
That would be behindthepanels.net.
That would be behindthepanels.net.
Which is really, I've got to say, I was scooting over there and having a read of some of the stuff there. You've got some really good content on there at the moment. I'm really enjoying your articles.
David, you know I've got good content on
there. I do. It's really good.
Because I'm writing.
Everybody should go over there and read right now. No. Listen to the show. Then go over and read.
Yeah, finish listening to the show, because we're about to do the pick of the week.
Well, see how you like this.
What is it, Batman?
Whatever it is, it's awfully funny.
It's the pick of the week.
Judge Dredd, The Cursed Earth Saga. Originally released in 25 parts over 6 months through 1978, was the second extended story in the pages of 2000 AD. Yet it could also rightly be called the first epic Dredd storyline. Written by script robots Pat Mills and John Wagner, and illustrated by Mike McMahon and Brian Bolland, it sees a virus breaking out in Megacity 2 on the west coast of North America. Only Dredd dares make the treacherous journey from Megacity 1 on the east coast across the barren wasteland known as the Cursed Earth. Before it's out, he'll encounter mutants, thugs, dinosaurs, aliens, gamblers, and vampire robots. Controversial and formative, it's arguably one of the most influential Dredd stories of all time.
Quite frankly, I don't know how we follow that.
And that's behind the panels.
You didn't mention the Burger Barons.
Ah, because my copy didn't have the Burger Barons.
I would like to read something about that, actually, if that's okay. In the digital copy that we all told you to go out and buy, remember
from the 2080
website, there is actually a disclaimer at the beginning of the book. And it actually says, "Welcome to the Cursed Earth Saga, an early Judge Dredd epic written in parts by Pat Mills." Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it says, "Unfortunately, parts 11 to 12 and 7 to 18 of the story have been omitted due to copyright infringement. But here are the synopses of those stories starting below." And anyway, it goes on to give the synopses. And I think you have more information on this than I do, because you've actually got those in printed form. Is that
I read
correct?
Them today for the first time.
Oh, yeah, very good. So can you tell us a little bit about the Great Fried Food Fiasco, please?
Basically, they omitted four chapters from the Cursed Earth Saga due to, basically for legal reasons. And when you read these progs, you see why. You've got Ronald McDonald on one side in commando gear and the Burger King on the other.
Yes! I got to read these.
And they're going at it. I mean, there's some hilarious lines like, this is madness. There's no death sentence for working for the wrong hamburger chain. Maybe, but where you come from, boy? But out here, we got our own kind of burger law.
Oh, it's excellent.
It's hilarious. And the other two progs that were omitted, Giants Aren't Gentlemen and Soul Food, had a kind of Dr. Moreau sort of feeling. They were drawn by Brian Bolland.
Mm-hmm.
And a character that looked a lot like Colonel Sanders.
Mm, mm. So, in other words, 2080 was really kind of pushing the boundaries on these ones. And
yeah. But for the trade paperback, wisely, they decided not to print them.
They decided to omit them. So, if you do buy that incredible deal from 2080.com, which is I think it's £5 for the entire Cursed Earth digital format, no DRM, it's fantastic. You won't have those four chapters.
Now, Nima, this was your pick this week when you decided you were coming on. You wanted to do the Cursed Earth Saga. Tell me a little bit about why this is a book you thought we should do.
Well, I went to a science fiction SF kind of convention down in Canberra, Conflux, and there was a panel on comics there. A lot of, you know, SF authors talking about what comics they were really into. And Judge Dredd came up, and the Cursed Earth Saga was one of the ones they talked about. So I thought, you know, I haven't read this one yet. Recently on eBay, I bought about 1,800 various issues of 2018, which I got really cheap. And these were in there. And Pat Mills has been one of my favorite writers. So, yeah, I thought I'd check it out. And I wasn't disappointed.
Yeah.
It is a... As I said in the... Sorry, there's some magnificent voice said in the intro... it is an epic story. Like, it is a proper epic. Like, it doesn't... this is... When you think about Judge... I mean, when most people... Well, not most people, but when mainstream audiences think about Judge Dredd, all we've really had to go on is the two films. And both of those have been either shit or really confined to, like, one of the blocks in one of the megacities. Mm. But this is taking Judge Dredd out on the road... throughout the most bizarre mix of creations you could possibly imagine. And it's very, I mean, like, in some ways it's very much of its time, but in other ways it's so out there we still haven't caught up with some of this stuff.
1978, I mean, I thought these guys were really pushing it back then.
I actually used to read 2000 AD in 1978.
Cool.
And I actually read a bunch of these at the time, and it's really interesting going back. And I was saying to Richard this afternoon, it's really interesting because as I was reading it, there's whole sections I hadn't read, but then there was, you go, I know this. And one of the first things that caught my eye about this was when they first set out into the Cursed Earth, that vehicle they're in, the Killdozer, I had that toy.
Oh yeah, I was going to mention that.
Yeah, I had that toy. Awesome. I think it was Corgi, or it's Corgi. I think actually produced it, and it actually used to come in two parts. And
yeah.
And as soon as I saw the picture, I went, memories just came flooding back, going, "Oh my god, whatever happened to that?" You know, and it's like, so there were a lot of memories, and there's a lot of, when you actually look at the Sylvester Stallone Judge Dredd film, which, you know, it's crap. We all know that. Certain elements of that, though, they got really right. Some of the production design is really spot on.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the Cursed Earth stuff has come straight. I mean, the mutants and stuff have been lifted straight from this, you know? Yeah. And so you sit there and you look at it and go, yeah, you can see the seeds of all of this in all of the Judge Dredds. This is Dredd. This is pure Dredd, yes, as far as you get down to it. So really enjoyed going back and revisiting. So I want to thank you so much for bringing this one back to the table.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad you guys got into it.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit cheesy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's aimed at younger readers.
Mm.
But if you take it for what it is...
And you also, we also
it's
talk
got
about,
merit. It's not without merit.
Mm. We also talk about, you always have to take a comic as well for time and place.
Yes.
Yep.
And in 1978, this was subversive stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this was incredibly subversive stuff. Thus the burger wars and stuff like that.
A little too subversive for the big food chains.
Apparently. I don't know if you've ever read, there's actually, I think it's later, actually, 2000 AD, one of my favorite Judge Dredds was actually the Umpty Candy saga, where basically Uncle Ump has developed this candy that is completely addictive. And of course, it's all these wonderful statements about society at the moment, but thrown off into this science fiction world. Mm. And you sit there and you just go, this is where Judge Dredd was brilliant. I think in this particular saga, the Las Vegas sequence and the corruption of Las Vegas is, you sit there and you look at it and go, yeah, I see what you're saying.
And this is a time before Vegas became Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, this is back when Vegas was properly corrupt and properly being run by Mafia, you know. This is before they moved in and it basically became Disneyland.
Yeah, and I love the fact that the judges in Vegas all have dollar signs on their uniforms.
The great thing about this is it does tackle some serious issues, social issues, but it doesn't do it in a preachy way. I mean, the virus that's afflicted Mega City 2 is 2T, open bracket, FRU, close bracket, T.
Tutti Frutti.
Yeah, the Tutti Frutti virus.
Zombies are chanting, Tutti Frutti.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, it's got a lot of humour through it.
Yeah,
it is. And it never comes across as preachy. It didn't for me.
No, and I think the thing is that the grounds that, I mean, Dredd himself is just such a, and David, you were saying this earlier today, it's such a stoic character. You get nothing from Dredd. Like, you get no emotion, you get no, you know, sign other than his absolute commitment to the law.
That's generally correct. However,
he does lose it occasionally.
This particular storyline, I think, was a turning point for the character.
Yeah.
There are certain parts in it, for instance, where Dredd comes out and he says, you know, this is, you're taking the law to an extreme.
Hmm.
And this isn't the way, you know, this is not the way that the law, that justice should be dispensed.
Hmm.
And he looks like a total badass when he's saying it too. You know, it's just some parts were really moving emotionally.
Well, also, I mean, just, I mean, skipping right ahead, but even the finale when they come out to help him and he's at the gates of Mega City 2.
Yeah,
and he basically says, I'm doing this on my own. He stands up and walks through the gates.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I've come this far. I'm going it on my own, you know? And you're right, he's got this whole badass attitude to him. And you were saying that, you know, the very stoicness of the character. In the page 13 of this collected works, when he first gets introduced to the Killdozer, and he basically says, the scientist says, the Killdozer is equipped with Nemesis rockets, cannon, laser cannons, two new quasar bikes, and is nuclear blast proof. It's a mobile fortress. Is that big and tough enough for you, Dredd? And Dredd just goes, it'll do. And the guy in the thought bubble, the guy goes, nothing impresses the judge. You know, it's like, I love that. And of course, we have on page 24, I'm just going to show it to the boys here, the classic, I am the law. And his big old scream out.
Oh, I love that.
You know, and it's like, you just sit there and look at it and go, yeah, that's Dredd. And that's what Stallone could never capture, you know, because it just sounds stupid. But when Judge Dredd calls, I mean, basically, people say, this is the law of the land. He goes, no, I am the law and you obey me, you know?
It's like, and he says it in the most, you know, unlikely places, like, you know, the whole place is falling apart. And he's like, no, I'm the law.
Yeah. As long as I am here. Yeah. As long as I am here, I am the law. It's as simple as that, you know?
Yeah. There's this one particular scene later on where he goes to save this alien. And, you know, you forget Spikes. When someone calls on the law for help, be he Mutie, alien, cyborg, or human, the law cannot turn a blind eye. And I am the law.
Mm.
You know, and the expression on his face, Bolland draws him so well.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Bolland's art is amazing. It's funny because it's almost... Bolland is still... This is reasonably early in his run, was it? Or
Bolland was just getting started.
Yeah. So you can still... He's still kind of playing around and there's a lot happening on every page. And I think sometimes... I don't know whether that's something that's characteristic of the rest of his stuff, that there's that much happening in every...
No, he's always been extremely detailed.
Yeah, you can read all the signs, any labels. He's got everything detailed.
And I've got to say, this is one disadvantage I'll say to reading it on the iPad format. It is quite densely packed. And I'm looking at Nima's edition I've got here, and he's got a nice big kind of prestige format.
It's how it was originally printed, the same size.
Yeah, magazine size. Yeah.
Magazine size, and it looks fantastic. And you can really, I mean, apart from the fact that it's on, that's really nice sort of... rough print page sort of thing as well. It really looks like,
because I was saying in the original 2000 AD was almost like newsprint paper. I mean, it was all very slapdash put together and so forth.
Almost toilet paper.
Almost, it was like disposable. It was completely disposable book. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I was saying to Richard, I was saying the artwork in this is amazing because you look at it and you go, it is essentially sketch artwork. You know, it's all black and white, hand-drawn. There's no coloring here. You know, it's like, but they've done this amazingly detailed frames for what is effectively going to be printed in the most roughshod fashion.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so nice to see it reprinted now because you sit there and go, this is, you know, it should be printed on nice paper and it needs to be preserved because the artwork is fantastic with all the exaggerated armor plating and, you know, and signage and the stuff actually in Mega City, how detailed everything is going on in those city streets.
Oh, there's so much going on every page. Yeah. It's fantastic. Mm. Yeah.
And I really like this. So, this week on the interwebs, a fan film called Judge Minty was released. Now, that is, I understand it, based off something around this era. Was that right? That character?
I haven't read that. I know Minty as one of the side characters, one of the other judges. And I've seen the trailer, but I don't know too much about the fan film that's been made.
Well, we got a chance to watch it today.
I'll play a little clip from it before we go on and talk about it.
You no longer meet the minimum requirement for an active street judge.
When you get old, you start getting strange notions. Like maybe people aren't so bad. Maybe if we treat them with kindness, the good in them will come out. Guess that's when you know it's time to quit.
You're retiring with honor, Bill. You've earned the right to teach at the Academy of Law.
I've been on the streets too long, Joe. There's only one way for me.
That was actually two of those voices. The guy playing Judge Minty is Edmund Dean, or Dan. The guy playing Judge Dredd is actually artist Greg Staples.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a great artist too.
Yeah, he's an amazing.
We were actually watching, I mean, okay, it's still a fan film. It's still, it's not sanctioned by anybody, but they put some money into this thing.
That actually came out, it's about 2 years after this. Judge Minty story was a John Wagner story in Prog 147, by the looks of it. So
they got his permission to turn this into a...
I don't know. I think they got his permission, and I think it's... They've certainly 2000 AD actually had the trailer for the fan film up on...
And they mention it many, many, many times on the film that this is not for profit, not for profit, not for profit. Yeah. It's like they're really...
But it's a really... I mean, look, Dredd fans out there probably would already seen this, but it's a really slick production. It's they've obviously spent some money on it. The effects in the opening 5 minutes are just amazing. Like the way they
capture Mega City.
Yeah, absolutely. And then he actually, the story in this is actually that after that point where he's decided he's retired, the only option he has is the long walk, which is heading out across the cursed earth. So you get to see a bit of the cursed earth come to life in this fan film, which is kind of a bit of a double-edged sword because it's a bit of a tease. I think that's probably where the Carl Urban Dredd would have gone, kind of possibly gone towards this cursed earth kind of direction.
Could.
If they come back.
They're actually talking about doing the Dark Judges storyline.
Oh, the Judge Death.
Death is the key, the main Dark Judge. There's judges from another planet, and there's four of them, and they come, I think, they come to Earth, and they just start causing havoc. So it's got more of a science fiction, more of a high concept, you know, a different spin. Right, I mean, what we saw in the Dredd film was very street level, urban, gritty. I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved absolutely
I thought
loved
was
it.
Fantastic.
but this sort of thing, you know, these kind of science fiction, more fantastical elements, are more true to the comic and what people will kind of see if they do read the Cursed Earth and other Judge Dredd comics.
I think that's one of the things you could probably say. Is it fair to say with the Judge Dredd comics is that it's kind of like Doctor Who in the sense that it depends on the writer or the week or what have you, but it's a different genre every time you enter into it. It could be science, it could be hard sci-fi, it could be broad political satire, it could be an action story, and I think that's
that would be true. You know, some of them play on the humor aspect.
Well, I'll say the Umpty Candy arc is hysterical, because it's actually one of the few times you ever saw Judge Dredd smile. And it's actually the cover of the book, which is him holding the candy in his hand, and the speech bubble over his head, his huge smile, just says, "It's delicious." Because the concept of the Umpty Candy, of course, is that in Mega City 1, all drugs are basically legal because it's a cure for everything. And so if you're a heroin addict, they give you an injection, and you're not an addict anymore. So everything's fine. Along comes Umpty Candy, which is just candy. But it's completely addictive, and there's no cure for it. And so, of course, it just starts driving this illegal market across the streets of everybody wanting this candy and this absolutely addictive sweet candy, including Dredd. And it becomes this very interesting story. And it's hysterical. And Uncle Ump is this tiny little man who's just making candy.
Just talking about it, I want to eat some now.
Umpty candy. Yum, yum. But yeah, so there's some great stuff and some great humor in this. In fact, I've got a page here from the book. Once again, I'll recite from the book. One of my favorite lines in this entire book was where they defeat the mutants and the mutants are driving away in the Jeep and the line is, "Flee! The Day of Atonement is postponed indefinitely." I just thought that was a great line.
This does go to some very weird places. I mean, this is one of the few...
the Mount Rushmore.
Nima's holding up the Mount Rushmore with Jimmy Carter on one end and the mutant leader on the other, who's got like a sort of a possum rat thing draped over his head, which is terrific. But, you know, this is a book that, as we said in the intro, is... you know, there's a dinosaur storyline in this, which, David, so I know you want to talk about this. The start of this dinosaur story is somewhat similar to a dinosaur story that came on a few years later.
I think Michael Crichton may have got his inspiration from somewhere, because the storyline of the dinosaur story starts with, oh, look, a single DNA strain we can resurrect, and then they need to make money, so go, let's create a theme park. You know, it's like, and then when you actually look at the images, I think Spielberg has borrowed stuff, because the incubation chamber for the eggs of the dinosaur look just like the ones that are in Jurassic Park. Yeah. And you sit there going, wow, this really did inspire a whole bunch of stuff. And then, of course, course the dinosaurs get free, and it's like, you know. But that was an intriguing storyline that you bring up, because not only was, I think it was inspiration for a lot of stuff, but it was the densest part of this entire read.
Yeah. It's right in the middle, smack bang in the middle of this, and I don't know how many chapters it goes for. And Nim, while we're talking about this, progs, what do they call them, progs?
Programs. It's very techno, you know.
No, I was just wondering, because if you actually look at the beginning of each prog, it actually says issue. It doesn't say prog. But whenever they refer back to them, they refer back to them as progs.
Yeah.
So it's really
odd. It's meant to be programmed.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, that's been bugging me for days now. but yeah, it probably covers the same number of progs as the rest of the little mini arcs within this. But you're right, David. It seems like the densest one
because it's all told through the memories of the dinosaur. And so basically you're in the mind of the dinosaur, and everything that it's all its memories and its history. And you're sitting there going, wow, this is really deep.
I actually thought that part was maybe the weakest of the entire arc.
It took me a long time to get through.
It just comes out of left field.
Yeah.
And Pat Mills, actually, it's based on his earlier comic called Savage. So Old One Eye is one of the main characters in this dinosaur. Basically, dinosaurs running around eating people.
But also, there's references in it to earlier Dread as well. Because isn't there a sequence of Dread where they send flesh dozers back to prehistoric age to get meat from Mega City? And they actually refer to, because in this book, there's actually a part where they refer to the flesh dozers.
Yeah.
So so I think that we're also seeing shades of that as well. And it's like, there's so much happening in that sequence. It's just like, it took me a long time to get through that set of progs.
I mean, it's good. It's entertaining, but it's a little bit of a stumbling block. But once you get through it, the story gets back into a rhythm.
Like we all said, I think you and I were saying today that, it was a part where we had to get through it, knuckle down, and
you got
to
push through that part.
Yeah,
but it's worth it, definitely, for the finale.
Yeah, and it's really well written.
The finale's amazing, though. I mean, like the thing at the end of the day, if you were going to recommend Nemo, for me, this was my Dread starting point.
Yeah,
and would you say this is probably a good place to start for people?
I think it's a great place to start. Yeah.
So you're about to go into it. I noticed at the very last one, it says next issue. It says Judge Caligula.
This
is a great arc. All right, I remember reading this.
Oh, you've read Judge Caligula? Yeah,
a long time ago.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, but that's a great arc. So, I mean, this is a great starting point, because now you can just go on from here, you know?
We're going to move on to some feedback in a minute, but Nima, is there any final closing comments you wanted to make about the Cursed Earth Saga before we move on?
What I really loved in this was the humanity of the piece, and it really shows you Dredd's... it shows him as a human, and it's a real turning point for his character. John Wagner, the creator, says Dredd's one of the perfect characters because he's equal parts hero and villain. And in this particular comic, it shows you his more heroic side.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about The Cursed Earth.
Yeah, I concur 100%. I think this actually made him less of a caricature and more of a character.
Yeah.
Because you actually suddenly, he wasn't just the face. I mean, let's face it, Dredd never takes his helmet off. And so that is an inherent problem in a character if you can never actually get to know the person under the helmet. But they actually managed to get you to know him, even though he doesn't, he never takes his helmet off. And I love the fact that by the end he's shirtless and everything else, but he's still got the helmet on.
Look, you know, as I said, this is was my first proper Dredd comic. Loved it, really enjoyed it, and I definitely want to read some more after this. So yeah, it's definitely done the job. Thanks, Nima, for recommending that.
Pleasure, guys.
And so if you've got any questions or comments on that, hit us up on feedback at behindthepanels.net.
And if you're a Dredd fan, we want to hear from you.
Definitely. Speaking of feedback, it's that time of the week where we actually have a listen to some of your comments. David, thank you.
Hey, I love that music.
we've got a couple of pieces of feedback this week, David. I'll kick this one off.
Sure, go for it.
And we've got one on our Facebook, which is facebook.com/behindthepanels. This is from Tyler Eller, who says, "Hey guys, I love the show. Been listening from issue 5. You guys are my favorite now only comic book podcast." Thanks, Tyler. He says, "I love the Marvel Cosmic Comics, and it's nice to have someone to share this awesomeness that is there. Suggestion, you guys should read The Secret Wars and the Infinity Gauntlet storyline."
Good choices.
Definitely will be coming up some stage this year, and certainly before the Guardians movie next year. I kind of suspect the Infinity Gauntlet will play somewhere in there.
And I'd like to do actually Secret Wars and a Secret War and Secret Wars at some point, because actually two different series. One is the Nick Fury one and one is the Marvel Superhero Secret Wars from the 80s. I'd like to do both of these at some point because they're both really good.
He just said a slightly less positive comment, but he says, also, please turn down the volume on your news opening clip. I don't turn my stereo way down so loud it hurts my ears. Thanks and have a great day, Tyler. Thanks, Tyler. As you've probably already noticed, we have turned that down a little bit. So by the time you hear this bit, it's fixed. So what are you complaining about?
Yeah, exactly.
David, you got some feedback as well.
I do. We got an email from feedback@behindthepanels.net. It's from Adrian. He says, hi, Richard and David. I was wondering if you guys saw The Daily Show on May 1st. I did not, but you did.
I did.
Robert Downey Jr. was promoting Iron Man and let slip the best kept secret in the whole of the Marvel Universe. The pronunciation of Kevin Feige's name, apparently it's pronounced, and we now have it. It is pronounced Feige, hard G. Okay, so Feige. I think that may be the only possible pronunciation us guys have never used. I've really been missing the movie podcast, but understand why you're taking a well-earned break. It was great to hear your thoughts on Iron Man 3, even though your spoiler zone wasn't very spoilery. Look, I want to apologize for that. I know it wasn't very spoilery, but we really couldn't give it away. It's one of those things where I still don't want to give it away, because it's one of the great moments in the film. So I'm not going to spoil that at all, ever. Have you thought about doing a few more movie-based shows, maybe Star Trek, Man of Steel? Well, yeah, funny she should say that. Well, he should say that. Man of Steel special coming up in June.
Definitely. We'll always do the movies.
Yeah, they always do the superhero movies for this show. If nothing else, we will do the
unless
superhero.
They suck.
Yeah, we'll still
no,
do them.
Especially if they suck.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I'm really enjoying Behind the Panels podcast, and I'm building up quite a list of comics that I really need to read. Thanks for all your hard work you put into this. It is really appreciated. Adrian, okay, any more?
I've got one more. This one's from, and apologies, I've forgotten his name. It's from Kit Harvey.
Hi, Kit.
You actually contacted me on Twitter this week, and it was around Free Comic Book Day, and he was saying, look, I've been really enjoying superhero comic book movies, and I want to start reading comics. And I thought, Kit, you've come to the right person. but, you know, he was looking for a place to start, and he was kind of saying he likes the Batman movies, he likes that sort of dark take that Nolan was doing, and he really liked the Avengers movies as well, and he wanted to get into some Superman. So I kind of quickly racked my brain and said, look, if you like that dark take, maybe start with something like Batman Year One. If you like Batman, that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
I think something like Dark Knight Returns is kind of your comics 202. You know, you that's your next level.
Yeah.
But that's a really good place to start if you just want to start getting into that kind of, and you know, your long Halloween. It's a very similar vibe.
Batman Noel,
things like that that have kind of got that same gritty kind of feel to them. In terms of the Avengers, I did mention the Avengers Assemble book, partly because I've been reading it for the Kelly Sue DeConnick interview we did, but also it's designed for people who have liked the movies and just want to start reading something.
It's
those
the same character lineup.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah,
so,
and finally for Superman, even though it could be a little confusing, I said All-Star Superman just because it's a great single thing, but we kind of wanted to find out what you guys would recommend.
I would actually say that a good starting point would be maybe a possibility of a couple of different origin stories. One would be J. Michael Straczynski's Superman Earth 1.
Birthright, maybe.
Or Birthright, which is like
Mark
the definitive
Wade's
telling.
Yeah.
Any ideas for Superman?
I would actually have to stick with All-Star Superman.
I love All-Star Superman, but for those who are just coming into it, the fact that it has the ending that it has could be very confusing.
I don't think it matters too much. I mean, it's intended to be an alternative take on the character, but I think it's a great introduction to Superman. Villains and it's beautifully drawn.
And the other one I was thinking about during lunch today was an interesting one to dive into if you can go back to, because they're collected in trades and you can get them easily in trades, is Batman Superman. Because the Batman Superman books are self-contained, they're both characters together. Yeah. They introduce a lot of other members of their families into the stories, and there's some really good tales in there.
There's an absolute edition of that coming out soon, which is the big oversized hardcover, which should be gorgeous.
Is that the one written by Wade?
I can't remember if it was written by Wade. I think it might have been. Yeah. So I remember really liking that series when it came out, and they're actually doing another Superman Batman book as part of the New 52. but you know I could care less at this point.
Yeah.
I think they're really good places to start. But another one I want to quickly mention is a digital only one, which is I've reviewed on the site behindthepanels.net, which is Adventures of Superman. It's written by Jeff Parker with beautiful art by Chris Somney. And it is just that classic, you know, Superman story. It's not tied to continuity. It just tells a good Superman fighting a bad guy, and Lex Luthor's involved. That's all you really want from a.
What about also Burns's Man of Steel?
Well, Burns's Man of Steel was a good reboot in the '80s, and the problem is Superman has been rebooted a few times since.
And I was
then.
About to say the one that you kind of want to avoid is the new 52 Superman.
The thing is, because Superman was rebooted again effectively after the whole death and rebirth thing. Yeah. They gave him a new lease of life and a new haircut. And
that was mullet Superman.
That was mullet Superman. Yeah. But then that kind of changed the direction of the book a little bit then as well. That was when I first started reading comics. It was around that Superman era. And started properly collecting them anyway. And then again for the new... Well, there was probably another mini reboot. That's right. There was the Mark Waid...
there was also Secret Origins was another
Secret
one.
Origin.
Yeah.
Mark Waid's Superman Birthright was meant to be the definitive retelling of the origin story, but New 52 kind of stuffed that up.
Yeah, but it's really good. It is really good. Go back and read that. That's fantastic.
So, but still, look, you've got a few options, but those ones we've mentioned, anybody who's trying to get into comics, it's really what this show's about, giving you good places to start.
And the New 52 was supposed to be the jump-on point for all of this, but the Superman books haven't been great.
No, they've not been. I look, you know, I like the direction that Diggle and Tony S. Daniels Action Comics is taking, but sadly, it's not to be.
No, it was a tease, is what it was.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But still looking forward to Scott Snyder's Superman that'll be coming out in June, July, I think.
That could be the savior to this whole thing. So
because it's Scott Snyder. And Jim Lee, I think, isn't it?
Not a bad pairing.
Yeah, it's a good pairing.
I think they've done some books before.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So
small titles.
So look, if Snyder can do for Superman what he did for Batman, then...
Yeah.
No pressure, Scott.
No pressure.
And actually, speaking of Dark, if you want to jump into Batman, current Batman... New 52 Batman. Forget all the other titles.
Yeah. Just start with Batman. Issue 0 or Issue 1? I mean...
Issue 1. 0 came a little later.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Go Issue 1, New 52, Batman, Snyder's Run, and just... It's 19 issues in now. Just go.
Just do it.
I think issue
20 or 21 is actually going Absolutely to be brilliant. His origin story again as well. So it's a really good time to jump on.
Yeah. So. It is... Out of everything out of the New 52, that is a revelation. That is the book.
Alrighty, kids. That looks like it for another week of Behind the Panels.
Aww.
First of all, I got to thank Nima for turning up.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I think it's world class. I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts. And this show is just brilliant. So thanks for having me on.
You can come back.
You're welcome to come back anytime.
You can even come back next week, because next week we're doing a book that we've been meaning to get around to for ages, is Hellboy. So we're going to do Hellboy Seeds of Destruction. So it's just a four-issue mini, really.
Went out and bought my trade today.
Yeah. I've got the beautiful... It's available in a bunch of different formats. I've got the big library format edition of this, which has got Seeds of Destruction and the next one, which I've forgotten the name of.
I read that in singles when it came out.
Yeah, I don't know. You're a big Nima's a massive Mike Mignola fan.
Oh, I love Mignola. Yeah, so, he's a genius.
He's a genius. that'll be one that I've been meaning to catch up and talk about as well for a while. So that read that. It's only four issues you've got to read for next week. We're not going to punish you as much as we did this week by making you read all that Cursed Earth stuff. But really looking forward to tackling that. Until then, you can find us. Usually at behindthepanels.net, also facebook.com/behindthepanels. David, we can find you.
Geekactually.com is my usual home, and at David McVeigh on Twitter.
Nima, is there any way people can find you on the interwebs?
At Red Paper Men is my Twitter handle.
And you can find...
Website coming soon.
Website coming soon. Looking forward to it. You can find me at the aforementioned places on Twitter at DVDBits, and another site I like to call therealbits.com.
And we should also mention, I like how you slipped that in. Mm. And we should also mention that you can get t-shirts, mugs, and so forth over at our store. The link is at behindthepanels.net. Go over there, help support the show, and wear our faces with pride.
Or drink from them,
or
if you prefer.
Or drink from us.
And on that note, David, this has been Behind the Panels.